So the question was asked, Eliyahu Hanavi plays a major role in Yiddishkeit, and the question was asked, who is he, where is he coming from, and how did he get this major role? So let's begin with the basic question. Who is Eliyahu Hanavi? Eliyahu was prophet during the period of the first temple, the first Beis Hamikdash. He prophesied to the kings of Yehuda, to the kings of Israel.
There's a list of who he was king.
Oh, what's the list?
Yoram ben Yoshaphat.
Yoram ben Yoshaphat.
Yoram ben Achaz.
Achav and Yoram ben Achav. So he was a prophet. He came, it is unclear what tribe he came from. There are different opinions among our sages what tribe he came from. He's called Hatishbi, which might mean that he was from the original Toshavei Gilad, in which case it would mean he comes from the eastern side of the Jordan. And throughout his life we see him prophesizing like other prophets prophesize. And then towards the end of his life we suddenly see something strange. He has that fantastic miracle on top of Har Carmel, which we discussed earlier tonight, that he takes on the prophets of the Baal, and God sends down a fire from heaven, and the people recognize that God is running the show, and he doesn't have these intermediary forces that they had believed in until now called Baal, and they stop worshipping the idols of Baal, and they go and they kill all the prophets of the Baal, and they say Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem is the God, Hashem is the God. And Achav also does tshuva, and God brings rain after years of drought. Seems to be amazing. We have this one day with all these miracles, mass repentance, even the king seems to repent. And Eliyahu runs before Achav's chariot out of respect for the king, long, long distance till Achav comes back home. What happens right after that? Achav, the king, Achav's wife, Izebel, sends word to Eliyahu. She says, Eliyahu, because of you, the prophets of my God, the Baal, were killed. You just wait. I'm going to ensure that you'll be just like them. You're going to get killed. Eliyahu has to run for his life. After the whole Jewish people saw this great miracle, and everyone seems to have recognized that God is running the show, Eliyahu doesn't see a success. After this tremendous miracle, fire comes down from heaven, consumes the sacrifice, evaporates all the water. Everyone recognizes God is running the show, and Eliyahu feels like he's done this great miracle. God, he's prayed and God did this great miracle, and yet, has he been successful or not? So he starts wandering to the desert, and God appears to him, a malach appears to him, and Eliyahu wants to die. Eliyahu feels like he's not successful, and the malach shows him a cake. He says, eat, and eat a lot, because you have a long journey, Eliyahu. And Eliyahu, after having a deep, deep sleep, eats the cake and travels for 40 days and 40 nights without eating because of having eaten that cake. He travels into Mount Sinai, travels back to where the Torah was given. And there God appears to Eliyahu and asks him, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? Why are you here? And Eliyahu says, God, I have avenged your vengeance. The Jewish people have left your covenant. They have killed your prophets by sword, and even me now they want to kill. And God says, okay, Eliyahu, listen. And God shows Eliyahu a tremendous vision First there's wind and noise, wind that destroys boulders, and this great noise. He sees a tremendous vision, and God keeps telling him, you see that awesome vision? God isn't there yet. God isn't there yet. And after everything, he hears a soft whisper. He hears a soft noise. And God tells him, you hear that soft noise? Now you're hearing God. And then God asks him, he says, Eliyahu, what are you doing here? And Eliyahu repeats the same answer he said the first time. He says, the Jewish people have left your covenant. They aren't keeping your Torah. They've killed all the prophets, and even me now they want to kill. And God tells him, go appoint the next prophet. Eliyahu finished. Go appoint the next prophet, appoint the next king. It's over. What happened? What happened up there on the mountain? First of all, we see a similarity between Eliyahu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when God appeared to him, he didn't eat 40 days and 40 nights. Eliyahu ate this cake and didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. Eliyahu goes to Mount Sinai, where Moshe Rabbeinu was. And God gives a special vision to Eliyahu, just as God appeared in a special fashion to Moshe Rabbeinu. But let's remember what happened. First God asked him, what are you doing here? So Eliyahu said bad things about the Jewish people. Eliyahu said, they're not living up to what they should. They killed out the prophets. They're not keeping your covenant. They're not keeping the bris. They even want to kill me. They've killed all the other prophets. Not all, but they've killed the prophets and they want to kill me. So God shows him a vision, and God shows him that with all the noise in the world, all these miraculous noises, that's not God. You wanted to give God to people, you have to do it in a gentle, quiet fashion. God appears in a gentle way. You, Eliyahu, God is telling him, you went to the top of Mount Carmel. You had this great, so to speak, theater. You had this great situation where everyone's watching, and they see the Baal is worthless, and a miraculous fire comes down from heaven. You prayed to me that I should do it. I did what you wanted. You prayed to me that I should help you. They shouldn't think you did witchcraft. I did that. Fine. But you see that didn't work. So that's not the way to pass over the message of Hashem. And then God asked him, what are you doing here? So God asked him the identical question that he asked him the first time. And Eliyahu gives the identical answer. And God says, basically what God is saying, if after I showed you this vision, you're still answering me the same answer you answered me before the vision, then you can't continue being a prophet for the Jewish people. You can't come out here and speak badly about the Jewish people. You did it the first time, so I showed you the vision. You're doing it a second time? Now your job is finished as a prophet on earth. Go appoint the prophet who's going to take your place. Go appoint the king. Your job is finished. And that's what Eliyahu does. He goes and appoints Elisha as king. He anoints Yehu as the king. Elisha as the prophet. Yehu as the king. And then Elisha accompanies him. And he goes on his famous journey till finally chariots of fire come and whisk him off into heaven. Our sages say that God said to Eliyahu, said, you're saying the Jews don't keep my covenant? You're speaking badly about my Jewish people? Eliyahu, from now on your job is going to be to show that they are keeping the covenant. Pesach, you're going to go and show they're keeping Pesach. Every time there's a bris, you're going to go to the bris and you're going to come back and tell me, oh, I was at this bris and this bris and this bris. You're going to testify before me how much the Jews are keeping the covenant. That's how you're going to fix. You said they didn't. Now you're going to, your job from now on is to tell me that they do. That's your job, Eliyahu. Eliyahu, it seems, didn't die. He was whisked up to heaven in a chariot. And he is an example of, so to speak, a connector between us and heaven. When the Gemara discusses what would be if heaven would tell us the answer to this question, the Gemara's example for that is, what would be if Eliyahu would tell us? When the Rambam wants to discuss what happens if someone comes from heaven and tells us the halacha is such and such, the Rambam says, what happens if Eliyahu walks in and tells us the halacha is this way? Eliyahu is an example of someone who, on the one hand, he's human, we knew him as a human, and now we have a tradition that he's still around, but he's angel-like. The Gemara says there was one of the Amoraim whose job it was to sell jewelry or perfume to women, and one of the important Roman women ordered him to come to her house. And when he came, She said, I want to sin with you. I want you. So he said, wait, I'll get ready, just a second. And he walked to the window and he jumped out the window. Said, I'd rather die than this. And Eliyahu ran and caught him. And Eliyahu said to him, you know how far I was? What you making me work like this for? So he said to Eliyahu, he said, what do you want from me? Why am I stuck doing this for a livelihood? Is it my fault that I have a job that I have to deal with women? Look, that's what got me to this situation. Why don't you help me out a little bit? So Eliyahu gave him something very valuable. Eliyahu said, you're right, you got to clean. So Eliyahu gave him something valuable there from which he was able to support himself. And then on, he didn't have to work selling things to women. So we encounter Eliyahu. The Gemara discusses how many wings Eliyahu has, how many jumps Eliyahu has to take to get somewhere. As opposed to you have Malchamavis, you have Eliyahu, you have angels. So you have Gavriel, the angel Gavriel. So we see that Eliyahu has a position up there with the angels. And he's participating with us. He's teaching us. We know that we learn on Sundays Tana de Eliyahu. Eliyahu used to teach rabbis. Rabbis who were on a high level, Eliyahu would appear to them and learn with them. The Navi Malachi, the last prophet that we have, ends off the last prophecy that we have with the pasuk that he quoted a minute ago. Hinei anochi sholach lachem, behold, I will send to you at Eliyahu Navi, Eliyahu the prophet. Eliyahu's dead. Or Eliyahu maybe isn't dead, but he's not with us anymore. So what does the last prophecy end with? What's the last prophecy we have? It tells us, God will send us Eliyahu Hanavi lifnei bo yom Hashem hagadol v'anora. Before the great day, the awesome day of God comes, Eliyahu is going to be sent to us, ve'yishiv lev avot al banim, and he will return the hearts of the fathers to the sons, ve'lev banim al avotam, and the hearts of the sons to the fathers. So Eliyahu is supposed to show up eventually and teach us Torah and teach us the things we don't know. He is supposed to come here and teach us a lot. We have a prophecy that he's going to come. Eliyahu is part of many, many midrashim, and we have a tradition on Matzei Shabbos. We learn about Eliyahu, to tell a story about Eliyahu, to learn some Tanit of Eliyahu. And Eliyahu is also what we're expecting. He's the one of the things that are supposed to come as a preparation for the great day of Hashem's appearance. The Gemara says Teku, so sometimes the Gemara says this will remain as a question, and some want to say that the word Teku means Tishbi. That's Eliyahu. Eliyahu is called Eliyahu HaTishbi from those who live in Yavish Gilad, from the inhabitants of Yavish Gilad. So he will come, Yitautz Kushiyot Vibot, he will answer those questions for us. They say that's not the right explanation of the word, that Teku doesn't mean that, but there is an opinion that says Teku does mean that. So we're waiting for Eliyahu, and if we merit, he'll appear to us. And those who merit, he appears to them. He appears in different fashions. There are different stories in the Gemara how he appeared to different rabbis. There's a story that one of the Tanaim or Amoraim asked Eliyahu appeared to him in the marketplace, and he asked him, what? Oh, so you tell a story. I'll get a break. No. Go ahead. I'm serious.
It was in a barbecue class. I don't think I want to try and quote it.
Okay. So there are many different stories about Eliyahu appearing. There are stories you hear Hasidic stories, and there are stories that you'll hear on the Gemara quotes. So Eliyahu is still around. Where he is, I don't know. When we make a bris, he's with us. Beyond that, I don't know. Because he comes, we don't say Tachnan, we say his aura is already in the synagogue, is in the shul, even before he comes. If there's going to be a bris there later that day, we don't say Tachnan earlier that day. And we wait for the day in which he'll reappear and help us out, bring unity to the people. Yeah. Okay? Max?
Yeah.
Sorry, no. I mean, there are a lot of midrashim. We touched the iceberg. There's a lot more to discuss. General picture. No, there are more aspects to be discussed. But in general, this gives us something.
Isn't he a drinker too?
What?
Isn't he a drinker too?
Nice.